Have anyone with us for the very first time? Is anyone here for the first time? Oh, great. We are glad to have you with us. You're welcome. All right, this is Suja International Fellowship. We are a gathering of believers, essentially foreign passport holders, natives of Hong Kong, Macau, Taiwan, and of course, the legal dependents of such persons. For the past two Sundays, we have been having our global celebration. Two Sundays ago, we had the international worship. And we got the chance, the opportunity to worship God in songs from different countries, representing different cultures. And our brother Ruben Ben spoke on worship and God's desire for us to worship him. Essentially, we were made for him, for his pleasure. Last Sunday, Nathan Pelton spoke on the command to go. If you read throughout scripture from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to find a lot of instances, a lot of places where people were instructed to go. It had to move from one point, one place to another. And then we also have the, what we call the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and to make disciples of nations, people groups. We were made to understand that it doesn't end there or end with us. We have a part to play. We are supposed to continue with that assignment. And Nathan highlighted what we as a church, Suja International Fellowship, do towards that. He told us about some of our partners in South Africa, in Nepal, some of the great work they are doing. And hopefully early next year, we're going to send a mission team, a short-term one actually, to Nepal. Today, we are going to, I'm not sure there's a kind of echo or something. Okay, so today we are going to do two things, two interrelated things. One is to reintroduce the vision of SIF and also to highlight the testimonies of a couple of persons that were with us a number of years ago and they have moved on to other places or gone back to their home countries to do things. And the idea is that they were here, they worshiped with us, they served, they learned a thing or two, and they took those things to their current location, and they are blessing people and serving others with what they got here. And the idea, again, is to see how you, as an individual, can get plucked in, and also with the hopes of possibly moving on, maybe back to your home country, or to another place and to deploy what you have learned. Before I talk about the SI vision, I think it is important to, you know, look at the global church or churches all around the world. And one thing you would realize is that churches are usually camped. Sorry. You find churches with emphasis on different things. I call them church camps, right? You find churches camped around denomination or doctrine. And that's why you find Catholics, you'd find Protestants like the Methodist Church, the Baptists, and the list, you know, goes on and on. At the same time, we still find churches around demographic characteristics. So certain churches are there, perhaps, to serve Gen Zs, millennials, and if you get to certain churches, you're going to find just senior citizens there, okay? And it's just good. It's obvious that certain churches are all about the nationality, ethnicity, by the language they use, the nature of their services and meetings. You know, it is tailored towards the, you know, the culture there and whatnot. Below us, we have an example. And then you have certain churches that are geared towards
people in a certain social class or profession, maybe people in tech, people young, people just starting out in their careers, and the list goes on and on. Another group of churches you'd find are those that are very particular about certain parts of worship. So for some churches, it's all about prayer. They pray, they can pray for hours on end. And you'd find some other churches that are really big on music, on the worship. So you see this band, maybe they have a band bigger and they have more skilled instrumentalists and whatnot. So you have churches like that. And then we have the churches that they are like specialized. They are specialists in certain messages or teachings. And you have some on prosperity, career and business success, and influencing society. You know, making change, bringing about change in the world, in the culture, and all of that. So you have churches like that. Now, I've said all of that just to bring the consciousness to you that you should be aware of where you are at time. That is the church where you are, because the church you attend or the Christian influences you're open to and exposed to a very large extent will affect your Christian experience. It will shape even your life experience. So you need to be aware. And for us here at SIF, we want you to understand the essence of the church, what the church is all about. I call it the church DNA. You should know it. And if you do that, you will be rightly positioned, rightly aligned with the church, with the vision of the church, and in your relationship with people within the church. So here at SIF, our vision is experts living, loving, and leading like Jesus. I've explained already what we mean by experts. You already know the group of people that refers to. For us, the important thing in that vision, the most important, is Jesus. Everything is really about Jesus. We want Jesus to be at the center. So regardless of our denominational backgrounds, regardless of the fact that we are meant to be an international fellowship and the different demographic groups and characteristics that we might have, for us here, Jesus is the focus. Jesus is our priority, is the one we are looking towards. Scripture says in Colossians chapter 1 from 15 to 23, it's like Paul is reintroducing the person of Jesus to these people. This is what he says. Speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in some things, right? In some things, in a number of things, in everything, he might be preeminent. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Like I said earlier, Jesus is supreme here. At SIF, Jesus reigns. Jesus is our number one. He's our goal. He's our vision. He's the one we serve. And there's nothing else. Nationality, color, profession, you name it.
we sideline every of those things and put Jesus first. So if Jesus is to be preeminent, then it makes sense that we live for him and we live like him or lead like him as well. That's why, I take us back to Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9 to 14. It says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." Now in his prayer, Paul is emphasizing the important things, the things that should be done or that should happen in the lives of the Colossians and of every believer. He says, "Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Let's pause here. You realize that the word knowledge is repeated here twice. We have it twice, right? And then there's a purpose for this knowledge, really, which is for us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, when he says walk, it's not talking about locomotion or translation from one point to the other. It's talking about conduct. It's talking about lifestyle. So it suggests, or it actually says, that there is a way to live that is worthy of the Lord. There's also a way, or maybe ways, that are there in which one can live or lead his life or her life that isn't worthy of the Lord. And that word worthy actually is important. And when it says worthy, it suggests to us that we have to keep in mind who Jesus is to us and what he has done. If Jesus paid the ultimate price to bring about our reconciliation back to God, then it is our responsibility, or let me put it this way, our reaction. There's a kind of reaction that acknowledges what has been done. And what that means is that with our lifestyle, with our conduct, with the way we relate to people, we can honor him, or we could do otherwise. Just imagine for a moment you're a tourist for a number of years now. During the pandemic, many of us couldn't travel. So when you have the chance, I know many would, you know, seize the opportunity to travel, you know, to beautiful places like Boracay, Venice, and all of that. Now imagine you're in Italy and you are stranded in a village. And you are hungry. There's no food. I mean, the shops are closed. And then there's this old Italian couple that sees you, and then they beckon on you to come into their home. Now they are trying to do you a favor, right? And then says, "Would you like to eat?" And you respond to them, "Oh, yes, I'm famished. I need something to consume." Now, everyone knows that Italians like making pizza, right? Now they ask you, "What topping should we put on your pizza?" And you insist on having pineapple on your pizza. Do you think that is worthy of them? No, it's not worthy of such people, in spite of the kindness that they have shown you, and you are doing something that is very much against their culinary culture. All right. So the point is, as Christians, in light of what Christ has done for us, we must live our lives in a way that is pleasing and honoring to him. The next point is this issue of knowledge. If we are going to live right, if we are going to live in a way that is worthy of the Lord, it has to be informed. That is, it is sponsored by knowledge. You cannot please God naturally.
that is the way to please God might not come to you the way you feel. It takes knowing. It takes knowledge. And when you get saved, that knowledge is not installed in you 100%. It does not come like this. In fact, if you do not do anything, it's as good as one could say you are not going to know. So there's that need to learn the knowledge of his will and the knowledge of God. In light of that, as believers and as persons here at Sojourn International Fellowship, there are attributes that we must have. The first is the passion to learn. The band sang about the passion for his name. Alongside that, we need a passion to learn. When Jesus was here, that is on earth, he visited his friends, Mary and Martha. There was a difference in the disposition of Mary. She sat at his feet. She was interested in learning of him. So for every one of us, we must have that craving, that hunger to know more of God, to understand his will for our lives. And then the other thing is the humility to unlearn. One opportunity we have as experts is the fact that we leave our home countries, perhaps our denominations, and then we come to an international environment like this. And if we are careful enough, we're able to re-examine some of the things we have been taught all our lives. Back to the Bible. When Jesus came and he spoke to the disciples, to the Pharisees, to the crowd and all that, and then at some point he would say, you have been told this, but I say this unto you. So at times, sometimes we need to unlearn certain things that we have always held to be true. If we get to realize that such things are not true. And then there's the place of patience to relearn. Paul in one of the epistles was saying he doesn't get tired of repeating the same thing. So you might come to church on a Sunday and then you realize that the pastor is preaching on John 3:16. And you're like, I have heard this over and over and over again. Obviously, John 3:16 talks about God's love. But do you realize how wide, how deep, how vast the love of God is? You might need some patience, all right, to relearn. And then the fourth attitude or attribute we must have is the curiosity to discern. We're in the 21st century, right? And we have the internet. We have ChatGPT. And in fact, ChatGPT is able to provide sermons now. It's able to provide devotionals, right? Maybe sometime in the future, persons like me won't be needed, right? I don't know. Did you say amen to that? But the point is this. In the midst of knowledge, in the midst of information, there's the possibility of error slipping through. Manipulation, false doctrine. It's rather sad or unfortunate that we live in a fast-paced world today, and a lot of believers or Christians, even though they are passionate about learning, passionate about the things of God, they suspend their minds. So it's like the pastor, the preacher, has to do all the thinking for them. So it is garbage in and then out. So as the person says it, the preacher or the writer, they are taking it hook, line, and sinker. And the point is, it should not be so. In Acts, we are told about the Berean Christians. After the apostles would have preached to them, they would go home. And then they will examine the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, to be sure that what they heard was in keeping, was in alignment with scriptures. So you must be curious. So when you have someone standing in front of you, it's not enough to just listen and then, oh, great preaching, fantastic. But are you observing? Are you paying close attention to what is being said? Otherwise, you might open yourself to what isn't right. Now, here at Sojo International Fellowship, it is our desire for you to grow in your knowledge of God. We want you to expand as a person, build capacity, and we have a number of resources. But the first is the ministries and the small groups or Bible study groups that we have. There's only so much that we can do on Sundays like this. But during the week and maybe on weekends, there is that chance, that opportunity for you to fellowship with other believers, for you to learn, and also for you to serve. So if you're not in the men's ministry, women's ministry, youth, and others, please speak with the ushers after the service. They're going to help you to get plugged in so that you can take advantage of the activities, the events, and things of that sort. And SIF has a subscription to Right Now Media. Right Now Media is like the Netflix for Bible study. So we have so many resources there, video studies, PDFs, and things of that sort. We have that resource for you, and it's open, free, to every member of SIF. So talk to your ministry leader, and they're going to help you to get your access to it. And I should also mention that we have a library. Some of you might be hearing that for the very first time. Yes, we do have one. Unfortunately, there's a bit of renovation work happening right there at the moment. That might take a few weeks. But after that, we're going to let you know how to access the library. So we have books, books and books and books in the library. It's just below us here. So those are some of the available resources we have for your growth, for you to be equipped, and for you to build capacity here at SIF. The next part of our vision is to love like Jesus. How many here love love? Okay. Yes, it's so beautiful. You know, the band said, Jesus is beautiful. And I agree. He's beautiful because he's loving. Okay. So the second part is to love like Jesus. What does it mean to love like Jesus? Or what is the requirement? Jesus, before giving the great commission, he gave one commission. He gave a command. And that is what we find here in John chapter 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so. Again, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So there's a command to love, but there is a pattern. There is a template. There's a type. There's a kind of love that we're expected to exhibit or to demonstrate. Everywhere else, people have their own definition of love. Just like cultures, for example. Now, I'm going to say something very gross now, okay, but don't be grossed out. In certain places, oh, I heard this anyway, so I've not been there and I don't know the place. To show hospitality, to welcome strangers, a man could give his wife to the visitor. Does that sound nice to you? But did someone say it? And when I say give the wife to the visitor, you know what that means, right? But in that culture, that is hospitality.
Some people still didn't get it. Anyway, the point is this. What is hospitality? Maybe, or let's put it in context. What is love to one person might be different to another person. Within the context of loving, as we are being commanded, there is a pattern. There is an example we have to follow, meaning that there is a qualifier, there's a definition, and we are not supposed to love outside the boundaries of that. So Jesus is saying, you are to love as I have loved you. And scripture is replete with examples of how Christ loved. 1 John 4:19 repeats this. It says, we love because he first loved us. How many persons here have a phone? How many persons here have a phone? How many persons here have a laptop? Is there anyone without any of those? Huh? Okay, so virtually everyone here has a gadget, has a smartphone, smartwatch, or something. Now, if you have a phone or a laptop, it has two parts. There is the hardware, and then there is the what? Software. Thank you. You are participating. Now, without the software bit, the hardware is useless, right? The hardware won't function. Now, listen to this. Love is to the believer what an operating system is to your phone, to your laptop. So for your phones, laptops, some of you use Android devices. For some other persons, your phones run on Mac OS, Windows, and all those things. Without those devices will not work. Now, for the believer, run on the Love OS. Is this you, right? If you have the Spirit of God in you, you run on the Love OS. Now, for the actual operating systems that you run on your, that runs your phones and all of those things, you have applications, right? Sometimes those applications are called native applications, like the calculator, the contact, the calendar, and whatnot. So for love, there are certain native applications. There are certain applications that are compatible, all right, with love. So if there's an application on your Love OS, you can click on it and it's going to open. But at the same time, there are certain applications, if you try to run them, it gives you an error message like this, unknown application. So it's important that we know what these applications are, isn't it? Do you want to know? Do you want to know? Okay, so let's see what some of these applications are, the ones that will work, the ones that are compatible, and the ones that are not. So let me take you to a very popular scripture, which is 1 Corinthians 13. Now pay attention to the ones that are green, highlighted in green, and the ones that are red. The ones that are green are compatible with the Love OS, meaning that if you have the Love OS in you, you can function with, those applications can run through you or in you. It says, love is patient, meaning that if you have love, you can exhibit patience. You can exercise patience. It also says, love is kind. Now, love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
So we have used the OS thing just to get the point. But the fact is this, if you're going to love like Jesus, then we shouldn't find envy in you. You shouldn't be boastful. You shouldn't be a proud person. You shouldn't be self-seeking. You shouldn't be easily angered, keeping a record of wrongs, and delighting in evil. Why? Those things are not compatible with who you are. They are not compatible with the spirit in you, which is the spirit of God. Let's move on. 1 John 3:17 says, "But whoever has the world's possessions and sees his fellow Christian in need and shut off his compassion." Compassion is an application in the love way. "Against him, how can the love of God reside in such a person?" So it's a matter of, you know, something on the inside. Do not shut your compassion off. But a key word here in this verse is the idea of seeing. For you to love people, you must see. It could be a visual scene. It could also be from the ears, really. Are you seeing? Are you observing? Are you paying attention? Because if we are just moving really fast, not paying attention to people around us, we are not going to see where and when there is a need. Now, how are we expected to love? Galatians 6:9-10 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good." As we have opportunity, you must seek out those opportunities. "Let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Philippians 2:1-4 says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my love complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." So I need you to look at someone right next to you. Tell them, "I care." I'm not talking about the furniture or the Swedish company. Tell them, "I care. I care about your welfare. I care about your well-being." All right, I'm running out of time. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." What is the law of Christ? We read earlier in John chapter 13, I believe, when Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." Now, I mentioned earlier that we're going to highlight some of the people we have, you know, fellowship with us, who are fellowship with us here at SIF in the past. And we are going to, you know, watch one of such testimonies. This is from Adejoke. How many persons here remember Adejoke? Oh, we still have a good number of people who do. Okay. Judy, please, can we have the video quickly? Yes, please.
Good afternoon from Nigeria. I am Dr. Adejoke, and I'm so excited to share with you my time at SI Express Leave and All. I would say that I joined SI in 2015 when I came for my doctoral degree program in Suzhou. And while at SI, I've worked in various capacities. I was one of the worship leaders in the music ministry. I was also involved in the student ministry, the women's ministry, and I was also one of the members of the SI mission thing. Oh my God, my being in SIF is something I can't forget. It's a very memorable one. You know, starting from the soul lifting worship to the impactful and insight coming from small Bible study groups, you know, that helped shape my character. You know, it's been wonderful. I'm so grateful to God for the women's ministry that helps me, you know, when I was down, my downtime, the encouraging words, you know, shoulders to cry on when I'm down. And I'm so grateful. Anytime I attend an SIF meeting, as always, I'm always taking one thing or the other home, you know, that helps shape my spiritual journey. In the course of SIF, I also discovered that the passion for souls became ignited in my life. You know, when SIF mission team went to South Africa and to Kenya to evangelize, I would say that was when the passion, the zeal for mission became ignited in me, which I still do currently. And, you know, it has really helped me in a way. Now, I would say that I'm involved in the music ministry in my local church. I'm also involved in the student ministry. I'm also involved in cuisine and hospital ministry. And most importantly, I would say that the knowledge that I gained and gathered from the SIF Women's Conferences, SIF breakfast meetings, and all of that, I was able to share them with the sisters and my fellowship here in my local church. And believe you me, trust me, it's been very wonderful. It's, it has really helped the constant love amongst us, commitment, dedication to God, you know, that I won't take for granted. And I really want to also add this, that while I was at SIF, the capacity to genuinely love people became increased in me. Oh my God, you know, irrespective of people's differences, the backgrounds or nationality, you know. So I just want to say that a word of encouragement, please, in the blood of God, the love of Christ, we share that God from our hearts to other people. We should also know that love is the principal thing. When we love ourselves, we're able to move mountains, able to shake the ground. Yeah, that's the word. So I'm really so excited. I love SIF, I miss SIF, and I love you all. Bye.
Okay. So that was Dr. Adejoke. The next, the last, which is not least, of our three-pronged approach or vision is to lead like Jesus. So what does it mean to lead like Jesus? Context is key. Let's see scripture. Matthew 20, 24 to 28 says, when the 10 heard about this, what the 10, the other disciples, reacting to a mother bringing her two sons, wanted to curry some favor with Jesus so that they could be top guys, you know, with Jesus, his right-hand men. They were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Do we have Nigerians here? Do you know what this means? It means what? Buga? Yeah, to show off, to lord over people. Anyway, that's an aside. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Very much opposite to what those guys were thinking then. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, Jesus is giving the pattern, he's giving the example. But to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We find this reiterated in other Gospels. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 23:11 says, the greatest among you will be your servant. Philippians 2:5-7 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Essentially, to lead like Jesus is to serve. And the call to you and for every one of us is to get involved. Get involved. Get involved here so that when you go out there, that is, you leave Suzhou, you leave China, you can also serve people. And that brings us to the next testimony from the beatings in the US. Judy, over to you.
And this is my husband, Jason. We currently are living in Buffalo, New York. We lived in Suzhou from the years of 2004 to 2015, back to the United States. We were involved at the SI Lab for the majority of that time. The SIF was a real encouragement to me at that time because I was a new mom. I had a lot of three young children and young moms, and be connected to a church family. I was involved with the nursery and a small women's Bible study during the week with some other moms with babies. And it was a real blessing for me as we spent time living overseas.
Yeah. I think our time at the SF was really great. I was involved sometimes with helping with preaching ministries and the men's ministry with excellent, just some really great men there that encouraged me as a man of God to continue walking with God. And there was also a little bit of international student outreach that we helped with. And it was a Bible study that would be done to international students on Saturdays as well. So that was a real encouragement. And I think just the international nature of the church, seeing all these nations gathered together, worshiping God, and worshiping Jesus with people from around the world, really gave us a vision for God's heart for the world. And that is really correlated now to our time in the United States. Rose and I, we work full-time in reaching international students for the gospel here at the University of Buffalo. So really a lot of those instincts and experiences and the vision of reaching the world that we learned at the SIF is really correlated directly to our time here in reaching internationals. So our time at the SIF is so rich, so wonderful. Some of the best people, brothers and sisters in Christ we've ever met, we really miss it, to be honest. And we're just so thankful for that season in our lives. Our children still remember that time. We have videos that pop up of the kids being involved with different things at church, and it was a really powerful time. So we're just so thankful for the SIF. We're excited that it's still going. Such an important ministry there to be a light for the gospel in Suzhou. And we're just so thankful for you, and we're excited for how God will use you there and how God will use you as we go back to our country. So we love you guys, and hopefully maybe someday we'll see you soon. See you again. So, okay. Bye-bye.
Great. The beatings, like they said, they are helping with the international student ministry in Buffalo, where they are. And as I mentioned, I remembered someone who is helping with the students here currently. That's Micah. And today happens to be his birthday. Happy birthday to you, Micah. All right. So could you return the slides, please? Yes. So we've come to the end of the message. But just to summarize, our vision here at Suzhou International Fellowship is to be experts who live, love, and lead like Jesus. In essence, Jesus is the focus, is the center of it all. And to live like Jesus is to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, in a manner that pleases Him. And then I use the illustration of the operating system. We're expected to love like Jesus. And if we are to love like Jesus, then we are expected to exhibit things like patience, kindness, rejoicing in truth. And to lead like Jesus is to serve, not waiting to be served, but being proactive in serving others. And the call to you today is this: get involved. It doesn't end here. Hopefully, like Adejoke, like the beatings, you will transition from here to wherever. Some of you are leaving this summer anyway, and you should keep this in mind. Your service shouldn't end here. Take the resources, the experience that you have gotten here, and bless others wherever you go. Let us pray. So Lord, just one prayer this afternoon.
is that you birth in us the passion to learn of your will, to learn to please you, and to be humble enough to unlearn whatever we have been taught in the past that isn't right. Give us the patience to relearn what we need to relearn, and help us to exercise discernment when wrong things are being passed across, either from the pulpit, from music, or whatever we are exposed to. We are just trusting you that those who are desirous of serving here in SIF, or serving out there at home, at work, that you give them the strength, the courage. For those who are discouraged, we ask that you give them comfort. All these I've asked in Jesus' name. Amen.